Invisible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers on BBS Radio, the number one worldwide talk radio network on the planet. This is your host, Allison, and I hope everyone is doing well this evening, and I thank you for being here. Alan Dodge, our monthly co-host and renowned numerologist, is on hand this evening. We have an exciting hour of talk radio coming your way. Our topic on tonight's show will help you gain a better understanding of the energy of the numbers. With our combined experience in doing numerology readings, we will share with you our insights on the quirks, the idiosyncrasies, and the good, the bad, and the ugly of the energy of the numbers. How does the energy of a number manifest itself? Both Ellen and I will share with you some of our favorite stories of actual real-life examples of how a person is influenced by the energy of their numbers. It'll be a fun show, but it also will definitely help those of you that are studying numerology to begin to understand how those numbers actually influence our decisions, behaviors, and experience. We'll be taking your calls, answering your questions, and also doing on-air live readings. Now, if this is your first time listening to Visible by Numbers, this show is all about numerology, looking at it from every aspect, from empowering you by teaching you how to use it to live a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life, to doing readings to demonstrate how insightful understanding your numerology can be, and also by explaining how all spiritual philosophy can be found within the knowledge of numerology. Now, some of you may not be familiar with numerology, so I'm going to give a brief explanation. You and everything in our universe has a distinct rate of vibration, and your vibration can be determined by the numbers found in your very own personal numerology chart. You might be sitting there and wondering how a number can give you insight into your vibration. We add numbers, we subtract numbers. What exactly do numbers have to do with it? Numerology is actually based upon physics, which is the science of laws that govern motion, matter, and energy, and it is physics that tells us that everything that exists has a vibration. Everything that exists in the universe, from an inert rock to the organs of your body to the very sound of your name, have their own distinct rate of vibration. To measure that rate of vibration, we need numbers. Now, numerology is the study of the spiritual qualities of the numbers. In other words, numbers have meanings. Numerology finds your numbers from your date of birth and the name given at birth, which in essence is a measure of your vibration. Now, numerology has roots in ancient cultures such as Rome, Egypt, Greece, China, and even has ties to the Hebrew Kabbalah. It is founded upon the teachings of Pythagoras, who was a 5th century Greek mathematician, philosopher, mystic, who traveled extensively in his lifetime, and he had the opportunity to study with the greatest religious leaders of that time in history. Numerology teaches you that there's no randomness to the day you were born, nor the name you were given. It was your soul's choice. Both the name you were given and the day you were born are a roadmap to your soul's journey in this lifetime. Your numbers, calculated by using your numerology, identify your energy and the energy which influences your life. So that kind of gives you a little inclination, if you have never heard of numerology, what numerology is about. Now, before I begin my discussion this evening, I want you to stay with me because I do have a few announcements that I need to make. First off, on behalf of Ellen Dodge, I mean, please read, by all means, go to www.ellendodge.com. Certainly, you can read on the bio page where I put a lot of information, her bio there. Ellen is a fabulous numerologist, and she just had a book that was newly released. It's called From Ace to Zumo, and this is numerology for your furry animal friends. And also, Ellen has written one book that is one of my personal favorites. It's Numerology Has Your Number. It's a wonderful book if you're learning numerology, if you're studying it. If you want to understand the challenges, this is the must-have book. This book really, out of the many, 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 many hundreds of books that I've read on numerology, this one was really, it stands on its own. It's that magnificent. And I believe that both these books can be found at Amazon.com. Now, the other announcements that I have is I am offering an Introduction to Numerology teleconference class, and I'm currently open for enrollment. The times and dates will be announced, but currently we're looking at July 14th as the first class. Now, things to be known about this class is each class will be limited to 10 students only to assure personalized instruction. Several classes will be offered at different times and dates to accommodate for the number of the students. Now, I taught this workshop in Doylestown, PA, which was really wonderfully received, and many of you have emailed me and expressed a desire to learn more about numerology. So what I decided to do is design the same class that I taught in Doylestown, but I'm doing it teleconference style. And this class is very interactive because each student will have their own personal numerology chart to work with as the class begins. The workshop is not only designed to teach you numerology, but also to help you better understand your own unique personal energy. A teleconference class has so much to offer because there's personalized instruction, instant questions and answers, and also the convenience of doing it from your own home. So if you're interested in this workshop, if you're interested in more information, please feel free to email me at visiblebynumbers@yahoo.com or alynch@ptd.net for more information. Both those email addresses can be found on the front page for Visible by Numbers in the bio section. And also, please take the time to sign up for the Visible by Numbers newsletter. Once a month, I publish a newsletter on the subject of numerology. It's not only fun, but informative, and it gives you insights about numerology and a lot of other wonderful information. It's absolutely free, so once again, just email me and put newsletter in the title, and you're instantly signed up. And my final announcement is if you have not gone here, take the time to go here, www.firethegrid.com. It's a wonderful website with a wonderful message. I'll be doing some shows in July specifically on this website and what it entails, but do take the time to go there because it's just an amazing story, an amazing message for us all. And again, that's www.firethegrid.com. Now, it's time to bring in my co-host this evening, V. Ellen Dodge, who probably has gotten bored by this lengthy introduction. She's probably wandered off to get a martini or maybe fix a bologna sandwich or something. Ellen, are you there?
I'm here, and I thought your intro was wonderful. Wonderful explanation. Yes.
Oh, well,
excellent.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. I've never heard it said so well.
Oh, well, thank you, dear. How kind of you. On tonight's show, we're going to be discussing the energy of the numbers. For me, I'm going to talk about examples that I've seen in people. You're going to be talking about famous people and their dates of birth and how their energy is reflected by them. And people that are listening, if they have no clue as to what their numbers are, you can easily identify the number of the day that you were born, which says a lot about your talents and abilities, and it's part of your overall vibration. Ellen, do you want me to go ahead and tell them how to go and get, you know, like when they have like a 19, realizing that it's a 1? Do you want me to go ahead and tell them that, or do you want to tell them that?
Well, I can do it.
Okay.
I can do it in the course of talking about a number.
Okay.
What Allison is referring to is that a number 1 is also a 10, a 19, and a 28 to a numerologist because we get to read and get the meanings of single digits. It's really a pretty simple metaphysical study. So the number 10, 1 plus 0, a 10, would be a 1. If you add the 19 for, let's say, a 19th birthday, that becomes a number 1, too, because 1 plus 9 is 10, and then 1 plus 0 is 1. The same thing would apply to a 28th birthday. 2 plus 8 is 10, 1 plus 0 is 1. So everybody listening, let's say, who's born on the 1st, the 10th, the 19th, and the 28th, have a very strong vibration that influences their destiny as well as their personality between their 28th, usually, and approximately 60, 62, 62nd birthdays. That's called the midsection of the life, and it's called productivity cycle within our destiny. So our birthday numbers are not just a destiny check, a destiny addition in terms of what's going on, but it's also a personality tool. So that's why I thought I'd like to focus on the birthday number, because it does encompass so much. And of course, the number two works the same way as the number one. A number two is an 11, it's a 20, and it's a 29. It's an 11, 1 plus 1 is 2, it's a 20, 2 plus 0 is 2, and 29 is 2 plus 9 is 11, and then again, you add, and 1 plus 1 is 2. So everybody listening, figure out, you know, that we're talking about people who have double-digit birthdays as well. Was I clear, Allison?
That's clear, and as we move on in the numbers, we certainly can remind them. But just look just the day you were born. If you want to follow along, just use the day you were born. And certainly those of you that have knowledge of numerology may be well aware what your life path number is. By all means, you know, include that number as well. But we're just going to be talking in general about the energy of the 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth.
I think the fun of it. Yeah, go on. You had so many funny stories. I was wondering if you're going to break into one of them.
Yeah, I was going to start in on the one just to tell a funny story about the one energy, just because I found this so incredibly fascinating. And, of course, you know, Ellen, you can give some more examples after I'm done here. But, you know, I have a stepson who I adore, and he's a one life path and a one birthday, and also an 8 expression. And anybody that knows anything about the numbers, this is a lot of ambition and drive and determination. It's also someone who really wants to achieve, who wants success in their life, and also someone who is quite fascinated with the idea of making some money. And he's just turned 18, and he came home with this big surprise tattoo. And when we saw the tattoo, my husband, of course, he was like, oh, my God, and I was laughing because it was just so right up the alley of his energy. It was a perfect pick for the 1 and the 8 energy. He has the Tibetan symbols of money on his arm. It's written down his arm, and it says money. And so it was just, it shows what where he places importance of what he wanted to put on his body, but also the fact that he wanted it to be very unique, and he wanted it to be different. And that's also the energy of the 1 being very individualistic. And so he had it done in a language that was quite foreign to most people. And so, you know, to me, it made me completely crack up. And the other example that I wanted to give about the 1 is actually Larry King, which I just, when I stumbled upon this, I just thought that this was a little bit on the funny side, because Larry King really was not born Larry King at all. His last name was actually Ziegler. And I think when he came to the point in time where he changed his name in order to, go into showbiz, start on the radio show, that's when he changed his name to Larry King. Now, Ziegler and King both vibrate to the 1. It's a 1 vibration, and Larry King himself is a 1 life path. So I think it's really kind of humorous, even given a choice. He picked a word like king. I'm king. I'm king of it all. You know, that's sort of like the 1 energy, and I just thought that that was kind of fascinating. About the 1 energy. So those are my stories on the 1. Ellen, I'm listening. What do you got for us?
Well, I kind of look at people who are born. Let's say we're going to talk. I'll continue briefly with the number 1, but it's interesting to note that people who are, unique in this world, people who are, they sort of hear their own drummer, they follow their own path, like sure. Woody Allen. He's born on December 1st. Alan Alda, who is so unique a person, who's an actor, a director, a writer, and certainly he's led a very, very unusual, pioneering kind of life. Betsy Ross was born on the 1st. She was a pioneer. Okay, we all know who Betsy Ross is, right? With our flag coming up as being really important on July the 4th. J.D. Salinger, the author, who certainly went down a road or was pioneering in the way he wrote, Bill Clinton was born on the 19th. Now, as I told you earlier, the 19 is considered a 1. 1 plus 9 is 10. 1 plus 0 is 1. Bill Clinton certainly is very individualistic, certainly has done, made his own path coming up from being a governor of a state that little known and rising to the presidency. He walks a pioneering path, right?
Sure.
And so many other people, Allison, Janis Joplin, Mama Cass Elliott, Jodie Foster, Fred Dalton, the senator who's the actor who's going to be running for president. I mean, these people who hear a different drummer, who are pioneers, they stand alone, and I would include, I don't want to be, you know, get into politics, but John Edwards is also born on the 10th. But Marilyn Monroe and Princess Diana were both born on the 1st, and I found that very interesting, both being princesses in their own way, one particularly, obviously, and one who lived the life, you know, when she became so popular as a princess, but both very unusual women. Mm-hmm. So the number one shows us that the people who are influenced strongly by the number one have a pioneering spirit. They answer their own call, and they follow an independent path. And everybody we know, if we, listeners, if you just think about the people you know born on the 1st, the 10th, the 19th, or the 28th, you'll feel this vibration coming from them. You'll have sensed it already.
Right.
So that's my number one story. Do you want me to go into number two?
Well, I'll tell my story about number twos, and you could tell us about the day of birth of the various
That works for me. Good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, one thing that I found fascinating about the description of the energy of the two is the fact that people that have two are really have a wonderful rhythm and a connection to music. And because I went to a wedding and I happened to have done the charts for a majority of the family that was there, quite a few of the people that were there, and when the music started and the dancing started to, you know, everybody wandered to the dance floor, and as I was sitting there observing, I was looking at some of the best dancers on the floor. These were the people that were doing, you know, very intricate steps. They, some of them knew, I don't know, jazz and all this other stuff. They were just doing some marvelous dancing going on there. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like the light bulb goes off over your head, and then all of a sudden I made the connection. They have a two here, they have a two there in their chart. And what I was really looking at and seeing going out on the dance floor was these people that had this two in their charts, had this ability with rhythm, and this also brings in with dance. I think some of our greatest dancers have the two in their charts in a birthday life path or in some significant position. And the other story that I have about twos is the fact that they're collectors and that they have a tendency to collect things. They have little collections of things in their home. And I was staying with a friend of mine that is an 11 life path and has two in their charts. And I had never been to her house before, and she showed me the bedroom that I was going to be staying in. And it was wall-to-wall a showcase of this collection of these fairies, all different kinds of fairies all over the walls of this room. It was a little scary to sleep in, but it was just fascinating to me that this marvelous collection, she had dedicated a whole room to it. And I have found this to be quite true with people that have the two energy, that they do have a tendency to have various different collections of things. And that's, you know, from experience, that's my two stories. So maybe you could give us a little bit more insight into the energy of the two.
Well, I think, Allison, I think of the two. I understand completely how people would be drawn to dancing who had a number two birthday or a number two strongly in their name. And that's, of course, we're talking about the 2nd, the 11th, the 20th, and the 29th birthdays. And I think of the fact that people are coupling when they dance because the number two is the number of union. It's the number of people who get together with someone else to partner, like the Smothers Brothers. Tom Smothers was born on the 2nd. Desi Arnaz partners with his wife, Lucy, and he was born on the 2nd of March. Bud Abbott partnered with Lou Costello. He was born on the 2nd of October. And then we think of the number two also as a number of cooperation. Number two people, they're genteel. They really don't like to make a big fuss over themselves. They would rather be cooperative, supportive, and be there when, you know, needed as a power behind the throne at times. And for cooperation, I think of Gandhi, who was born on October the 2nd. Mahatma Gandhi certainly fostered cooperation and peace in this world. Mm-hmm. So now you can go into your number three story.
My favorite story. My favorite three story is this happened actually in the Doylestown workshop, is we were discussing the energy of the numbers, and I just was mentioning with the number three, I said, okay, those of you that have three in your chart, stand up. And so I said, what I'm talking about is life path, birthday, or expression, and they stood up. And I said, and so how many of you have been told that you look younger than your actual age? And they all looked at me with complete and total dismay and shock, because they all had been told that they looked younger than their age. It was something that was a consistent theme in their lives. And I always find that when I'm talking to people and I'm doing readings and I bring up the fact that threes have a tendency to be younger and appear younger, I was actually at a party this weekend and there was this young man that asked me a question about numerology. I assumed he was 16. He looked that young. Of course, I'm almost 54, and anybody under 21 probably looks 16 to me, but he really looked young. He was 21 years old, and I'm like, and he turned out to be a three life path. So what I'm trying to say here is it's always fun. It's lovely to be able to give that information to someone who's born on the third, who has a three life path, a three prominently in their chart, that they're always going to look younger than they actually are. It's one of the gifts of the three. So that's my happy joy story for the three. And Alan,
well,
I
think I totally agree with you. Number three is the number of the child within you. And number three really is attached to words, or wanting to be a child again, attract attention, enjoy the lighter side of life, a sense of humor, beauty, fun, fashions, fads, and fancies. The number three, of course, is for a birthday, also the 12th, the 21st, and the 30th. Now, Alexander Graham Bell, I'm sorry. Sorry, were you saying something, Allison?
No, dear, I was listening.
No, okay. I'm sorry, I thought I heard your voice. I think Alexander Graham Bell, born on March, the third month of the year, on the third day, certainly had the gift with words and talk that he had to bring to the world. It's something was very important to him.
Sure.
When we think about entertainment, and we think about words and music and even people who look younger. Maria Callas, born on December 3rd. Andy Williams, born on December 3rd. Tony Bennett, who is 80 years old. I just recently saw his show here in Phoenix. That man is amazing. He is young. And his voice is young, as well as his body. So, and then, of course, Frank Sinatra, born on December the 12th, and Doris Day, who looked 12 years old until she got to be, you know, 80. I mean, and she's born on March the 3rd. Interesting to note, actors, an actor, for example, Marlon Brando, born on March the 3rd, and writers, words. This is the tool, the gift that the number three has. James Michener, Gertrude Stein. These are people born on the 3rd, actually February 3rd. And just as an interesting note, everybody is suddenly becoming aware of Romney being a really charming guy in this presidential push, you know. He has a wonderful, I guess, background. But the talk is how wonderful he is when he talks in front of an audience. Well, he's born on the 12th of March. Also, the gift of gab, the charm, the ability to make people look at him, take center stage and be charming. So that's pretty much the gifts that I see of the three.
Right.
For the three birthday.
Right.
Okay, what's your number four story? Because I want to hear it.
Okay, my number four story is this young couple that I know that recently had a baby. And I'll tell you what, everything, they both have four energy. They're both, mostly it's four life path, but there's four in other places in the chart. And I absolutely had to laugh because everything is written out on a schedule. And this poor baby has to be fed at exactly this time and down for a nap exactly at this time and playtime exactly at this time. And it's so structured, but these you know, because the four energy wants, you know, it just absolutely needs to have structure and order and discipline in their lives. And this little baby is on one heck of a schedule. And I had to sit and kind of smile because babies don't often follow schedules. And I was wondering how long this was actually going to work out for them. But I thought it was rather endearing because whenever I look at a person's energy, I mean, I could not be disciplined in anything. And as far as writing, I mean, I do have to put post-its on my head to remember things. That's how scatterbrained I am. And I admire people that are disciplined and that are able to discipline themselves, but it was almost too amazing to see them try to apply that to a baby. And so that's one of my favorite four stories.
Well, I think probably they realize that babies follow, they shine best, they thrive best with routine. And so probably that's a wonderful set of parents there.
Right. Well,
at least in my opinion. Because number four is
getting his naps and fed on time, that's for sure.
Well, routine is very good for babes. People who love routine, it's interesting. The number four birthday, and of course that would be 4, 13, 22, and 31, people born on those dates. Now, it's interesting to note that Louis Braille, who established the Braille system for the blind to read, established a system. There are people who are number fours that are so big on system that they bring it to the world. Arthur Murray, who established a system for dancing, these people are born on the fourth. Now, Charles Lindbergh, who is a pilot, many pilots, or people who follow a structure. You know, pilots have to do a checklist and follow a very strong structure. People that are in retailing, Charles Rudolph Walgreen, who established the Walgreen drugstores, he was born on March the 4th. Gil Hodges, who was a baseball player, many baseball players, many people who get into bodybuilding and athletes are born on the 4th because they bodybuild. They are able to follow a routine and a structure and build. Number fours are essentially builders. They build a structure, they build, you know, for the future. It also is a number of the everyday man, the man that is comfortable with every other regular guy, somebody with no pretension. And so Will Rogers was born on November the 4th. Now, a man who's running for president now and somebody that was little known but has become a people's kind of a candidate, Barack Obama was born on August the 4th. He has a challenge to the 4, and so he is either very, very structured or he will break the structure. But he is definitely somebody who pays attention to the conventions. Jack Nicholson, who has reached everybody as a, of course, he's an incredible actor, but what makes him somebody that we all like? Well, he relates to everybody. He's every man. And so the number 4 really is the number of the practical, down-to-earth, conventional person. The only difference would be the 22 in the number 4 sequence of birthdays, because the 22 is a spiritually special number. And that means that people who build, because the number 4s are builders, will leave a lasting mark on humanity in some way. Mm-hmm. Now, the people I can recall that probably listeners will be able to see the picture immediately is Ted Kennedy, who's been a senator and made rules and regulation and laws for the future, built for the future. George Washington, also born on the 22nd of February. Now, Nikolai Lenin, who built a structure for the Russians. He was born on April the 22nd. Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy, who started this family that's built for the future, who kept a structure within her family, was born on July 22nd. Billie Jean King, the great athlete, who's left a lasting mark on tennis and a lasting mark on sports. Very much a powerhouse. Now, of course, there's always, as Allison said, the negative and the positive use of energy. John Dillinger, who was a terrible gangster and killer, he was born on June the 22nd, so he used his energy in a negative way, but on the other hand, he did leave a lasting mark on humanity.
Yeah, exactly.
What can I say? I mean, there's got to be that negative. There's always the two poles, you know, negative
right,
and positive.
There is.
Speaking okay, what's your number five story? I got to hear the number.
Well, the number five story relates to my husband, and seeing he's not home right now, I can talk freely, okay?
All right. Of course.
You know, number fives love their freedom. They don't like limitation. They absolutely dislike responsibility. They don't like mundane or boring things. Fives are immensely happy when they're doing what they want to do. And the one thing that I have noticed about my husband is if you ask him to do something and he's in the middle of something he's enjoying and you ask for his help with something or perhaps it's time to mow the yard, all of a sudden this very cheerful, endearing man turns into this little pouty monster because it's something he does not want to do. It limits his freedom. It makes him do something that's unpleasant for him. And I find that hysterical to a certain point and annoying to another point. But it's very consistent with him. If it's something he doesn't like to do, if it interferes with his freedom, he definitely shows his dislike for it. The other thing about my husband that I find is fascinating is he's quite an endearing. He loves food. He loves to eat. And I would probably guess that moderation is a problem with him. But I think when he's working, when he's at the job and he's calling me home from the office and he wants to know what's for dinner. And if I tell him something that, well, I was thinking about making spaghetti, and he may not be in the mood for spaghetti, and all of a sudden he'll say, well, you know what, honey, you've been working hard all day. Let's go out to dinner. Because he wants the freedom. He wants to eat what he wants to eat when he wants to eat it. He doesn't want to eat something that he doesn't really care for. And the pleasure, the enjoyment of eating is something that's important enough so that he will pay to go out to dinner so that he can get what he wants as opposed to what I think he wants. And I find that. And I've actually talked to quite a few women who are married to fives, and they actually started laughing when I said, does he call you and say what's for dinner? And when you tell him what it is, he invites you to go out to dinner that night, and it's consistent. They do that a lot. Fives do.
And I agree, too. Yes.
Yeah.
You hear my hear. You're totally right.
Right. The other thing that I think, and I will just go one more, seeing I have so much experience with this five man that I'm married to. This multitasking thing, juggling, doing many, many things at one time. And I apologize, but I am a one thing at a time kind of a person. I can only juggle one thing at a time. And so I finish it, then I'll start on the new thing. Now, Sam always comes to me, and he's in the middle of three things at one time, and I can't keep up. And I actually get downright irritated because I'm like, let me finish this, and when I finish this, then I'll deal with the next thing, Sam. You've just got to back up. You got to wait. And I find that it's a marvelous thing. I envy that in fives, the energy of being able to actually entertain a thought of five different things at one time or do five things at one time. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's something I personally cannot do. And I find that endearing about the five energy, and like I said, I'm a little bit jealous about that.
Oh, well, since I'm born on the 5th, my destiny is the 5th, the number 5 destiny. I can identify with everything you say. And
right.
Don't be envious. A 5 cannot build. So it's difficult, and it's wonderful in some ways and difficult in others, because the number 5, people born on the 5th, the 14th, or the 23rd, people who have a number 5 destiny, that's the combination of the month, day, and year of birth reduced to a single number. And anyone with a 5 that strongly is going to be sensual. And so the way food tastes, the way music sounds, the way fabrics feel. I mean, there's a sensuality, a love of sensuality, a love of sex and the senses that go with the number 5. The word adventurer and gambler goes with the number 5. People who want to take risks, want to take chances. Las Vegas is a number 5 town. If you add up the numerical values of the letters in Las Vegas, you get a 5. Mm-hmm. And that is a gambling town. Now, George Custer was born on December 5th. He was an adventurer. The man went out. You know, granted, we remember him for, getting, you know, killed at an Indian, Native American battle. But prior to that, he had been through many, many, many skirmishes and taken many, many challenges. Art Garfunkel, the musician, he made a whole new unusual break in music. He was a sensual musician. Jesse James, a shooter. He was a gangster, really, in the early days. He was an adventurer. He went in the other way. Instead of going in a positive way, the way George Custer did, to do his adventures in a structure in the army, Jesse James went out and took his adventures, you know, in a negative path. P.T. Barnum, who founded the circus, now, the circus is a number 5 experience. It's when you see many, many things that are unusual, unconventional at one time. That is the perfect example of what a number 5 would enjoy. And P.T. Barnum, born on July the 5th, had a natural instinct, a bent for getting into that. there are so many people like Bob Woodward, you know, remember Deep Throat and the reporter who did the expose with Bernstein. Mm-hmm. Certainly an unusual thing to do, a very risky thing to do. Number fives like to be detectives. They want that risk. They are not researchers the way a seven would be, but they follow their hunches because they're gamblers. Mm-hmm. There are so many people, and of course everybody knows Prince Charles, who certainly shocked all of us by, well, let's say he got interested in another, he was interested in another woman while married to Princess Diana, and of course this is all on public display for the world and we're all watching. And Prince Charles is born on November the 14th. The 14 and number 5. The man is a sensual man. He could not retain a marriage. He could not stay with a marriage where he wasn't turned on. Mm-hmm. And that's my fives.
If I just got one more thing to add based on what you were saying there, and you know, the fact, the adventure and the travel, you know, the one thing that I find fascinating about Sam is it doesn't matter where the finances are, it doesn't really matter. He gets a certain chunk of change and he'll go, well, where do you want to go on vacation? That's the first thing he wants to do with it, is to travel or to go do something exciting. I think that's really a wonderful thing about the fives, is that for them, what is important to them is the adventure, is the experience. And whereas a four, someone that has four would take some money and put it in a bank and feel really good about themselves, that they've built a certain amount of security in their life, and that's where they would place their importance. A five would take that same money and go on vacation with it because they're more interested in the experience. And so I think that's kind of interesting. And then one thing I did want to ask you about the fives. Do you find that people that have five energy have lovely voices? Because I'll tell you what, when I connect to a person with five energy for a reading, I'm always mesmerized by the beauty of their voices. They really have lovely voices. Do you notice that?
Well, I think that, yeah, probably they drink. because number fives love a good glass of wine with their wonderful, unusual Taiwanese dinner. Right, well, really, I mean, fives are, you know, sensualists. I mean, they love drinking, gambling, all the different kinds of things that, you know, my first instinct was, if it's an unusual voice, it's probably deeper than most, or it has some sort of a tone that's deeper, and that could be from drinking. On the other hand, it could be just because they're unusual people. I find the number five is a traveler, as you say, and really they do look... All right, let's put it this way, Allison. You and I both know the number five destiny means that a person is brought to this life to be a catalyst for change in other people's lives. And the way they do that is by living life experiences so they can share them with the people they encounter. Now, people who have a number five destiny rarely are able to stay married to one person unless they marry very young and then they just stay with it. But usually, number fives go, you know, from one interest to another. Number fives get bored very easily. So marriage is a very different cult commitment to keep. It takes a very special guy or gal, you know, to keep a five from looking around. Let me put it that way. And I don't know, you know, and I'm complimenting you, Allison, having married to a five.
Oh, I've only had him for 5 years. You know, it's like he's probably bored to death by now, but so whatever.
Oh, I don't. I doubt it, not with all your interests. But quite frankly, I mean, Prince Charles is really a prime example of how a five birthday can really influence even a man, you know, a life that is so predestined. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
Okay. What's your story for the number six?
Well, my story for the number six is I have a plethora of six energy in my chart, as you know, and I always find that being balanced, being able to see both sides of a situation, needing harmony in your life and that sort of thing, is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it also creates a whole lot of havoc in your life because trying to make a decision for yourself is impossible. You're very good at giving advice to other people and helping them to make decisions, but when it comes to yourself, it's a very difficult thing to do. And I find that many, many people that I read for absolutely relate to that being an impossibility. Also the fact that sixes are such worriers, because it's if they don't have something to worry about with the people they love, they borrow something from somebody else. And sixes generally, you know, they want everyone to be happy. And I really think the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, that applies to the six, but it has to do with if my child isn't happy, I'm not happy. If my husband isn't happy, I'm not happy. If my friends aren't happy, I'm not happy. Because the six is always trying to keep everything in harmony, and it's always trying to, you know, love everyone and nurture everyone and keep everyone happy. And I really think that the very strong thing about the six is in the interest, in the desire to try to fix everyone's lives. This word interfering comes in as a negative aspect of the six, the fact that they can become interfering. And it's born out from a place of love, because the six actually loves somebody so much that they just want to fix all their problems, when in essence what they're actually doing is preventing that person from learning the lesson that they're supposed to be learning. And so all of these things, when you bring it into a reading, when you're talking to a person with six energy about, you know, about themselves, and also the balancing of giving and receiving of love, it's a very important thing. And for sixes, because they give so much love, they have a very hard time in receiving love back. And that also includes loving themselves. They have to learn how to do that. And all of those things combined, you know, you have a wonderful cosmic mother vibration with a six energy. But there's a lot of difficulties that come along with this particular number. And I think that a perfect example of a six is the mother who dedicates her whole entire life to taking the kids to soccer practice, to taking the children to dance class, to taking the children to visit their friends and play dates, who takes the husband's clothes to the laundry. The house is impeccably immaculate. The meals are always cooked. And at the end of the day, she hasn't done one thing for herself. It all has to do with taking care of others. And that would be my example of what I've seen very consistently with people having a lot of six energy in their charts. And so you tell me what you got.
Well, I'm looking at another aspect. I'm looking at the birth date. People born on the 6th, the 15th, and the 24th. And I look at Danny Thomas, whose family went on in show business, but also who started the St. Jude Foundation that has helped children. So this number 6, January 6th birthday that Danny Thomas had, that 6 made, and of course his family, very, very big family and very, very close-knit family, but he brought his love of children and making life more comfortable and healthier and safer and better for families. Excuse me. Pardon me. We certainly can see that in his biographies. And Marlo Thomas, his daughter, is still continuing that today. Music is a very strong part of the number 6.
Sure.
Number 6, to me, is the number of, you know, the balance of life. It's the rhythm of life. It's people who want to bring harmony into their relationships. They connect.
Sure.
With everybody, right? Just as you said. So I'm looking at Nancy and Ronald Reagan, Nancy being born on July 6th and Ronald Reagan being born on February 6th. Now, family and taking care of everybody, and certainly everyone knows how much a mother hen Nancy Reagan was for her husband Ronald. And this is a very strong aspect, you know, a recognition for people to really see what the 6 means. Tony Blair, he's born on May 6th, and George Bush, our present president, is born on July 6th. These are people who, although their destinies, the entire destiny may take them out into other aspects of the world, George Bush and Tony Blair have taken their number 6 personality and destiny, you know, number 6 interest, to go out and try and improve. I believe that both of them believe strongly that whatever they think is best for other people is best for other people, and other people better understand it. They don't, either one of them, really have a true understanding of live and let live. As you put it, people have to make their own mistakes or people have to do their own thing. But I think the number 6 birthday there shows, you know, a strong wanting to, you know, do as I do because I know it's best for you kind of an attitude.
Right, exactly.
Now,
exactly.
I'm looking at the clock and trying to get to number 7, and I'm eager to hear your number 7 birthday or your number 7 story.
Well, my number 7 story has to do with a person that I know And having done the numerology chart, being aware of the seven energy in the birthday and also in the life path, and I just used to just on purpose, just because I'm well aware, and I would ask a lot of questions and just kind of like being an annoying friend. And if I would ask more than two questions in a row, I would just get all of a sudden from charming person to annoyed with me person, because it's very obvious that sevens don't really care to be. They ask a lot of questions. They have a need to know, a desire to learn, but they don't like to be asked a lot of questions. And the other thing that was fairly obvious about this particular friend as well is loud music, loud noise. I mean, literally, she'd jump out of her skin at the sound of loud noises, and that's one of the little idiosyncrasies to this really magnificent number, the seven. I mean, and I also see a lot with seven energy with people, the zoning out sort of a thing. It's almost as though they're connected to something the rest of us can't see, because it's a highly spiritual energy. It is a lot of deep thought, that there's a lot of still waters run deep with a seven, and so there's a lot of things that when they think about things, they can almost overthink things or spend too much time dwelling on things, get lost in their thoughts, and there's a lot of that faraway look in their eyes. And I think that, you know, there's so many wonderful things. There's so many different ways to describe a seven, but the one person that
Well, that's my birthday, so be careful.
Well,
watch where you tread.
Well, I want to be eccentric. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, I'd like to.
It is
analytic, and it is questioning, and it is a loner number. That's true.
And you
it's
hate
metaphysical.
Being asked questions, Alan. Admit it. If I ask you questions, you'd like wah.
I don't mind answering the first time.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I think people born on the 7th, the 16th, and the 25th generally are people who more focus on specific things in life. They usually become interested in computers or photography, or they like to be lawyers, whether they're practicing lawyers or they have that legalistic attitude and they look beneath the surface at everything. They don't take anything at face value, because number 7, 16, 25 birthdays, that's the number of the intellect, the spirituality, the people who are always working inside themselves. Now, everybody remembers that George Harrison was the Sirius Beatle. Well, he was born on February 25th, a seven. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, gives you a key. After all, we all know the Beatles were entertainers, but he was the one who stood out as the thinker. Now, I'm going to move on to number 8, and I want to hear your number 8 story.
Okay, all right, here's my number 8 story. Okay, and this is just one of the idiosyncrasies. Well, this is not necessarily the full description of the 8, but, you know, I recently got an email from a person who's heavy 8 energy, and I sat there and I actually laughed at it, because in this email there must have been 8 references, no less than 8 references, to dollar amounts. Describing how much money I made here, the cost of this there. I had a garage sale and made X number of dollars there. There's another $475 inventory here. There, and it wasn't even a business letter. It'd be one thing if it was a business letter or an invoice, but it wasn't. It was just a regular chit-chatty letter about her weekend. And it was all these references to the dollar amounts in this particular letter, which made me kind of giggle and laugh, because, you know, 8 is the number of someone who would be concerned with finances, be concerned with success, be concerned with achievement, and certainly 8s like to show the fact that they've achieved something by virtue of the things that they own, how they dress, or what their home looks like. And sometimes 8s do have a tendency to try to impress people a little bit by, you know, when they go to shop in a shop, they pick the most expensive thing, possibly a brand name, you know, whether it's got, you know, a label on it that is telling people that it's an expensive item. 8s will do that because that's their way of showing, see, I've done well, I've achieved things in my life, et cetera, et cetera. I just had to crack up at the email because I can't remember the last time I put a dollar amount in an email. So, and I thought it was just so perfect for someone with that kind of energy. So that's my little idiosyncrasy about the 8.
Pretty good one. People born on the 8th, the 17th, and the 26th. Well, the number 8, as you said, it's a number of people who focus on money, but they focus more on the power, I think, and the ambition once they have a birthday number of an 8, 17, or 26. When we look at Elvis Presley, born on January 8th. It's true, we all know he bought expensive things, not necessarily good taste, because he didn't have the number 9 of culture. But he bought everything that was the most expensive. He had a tremendous amount of physical energy. 8s have tremendous energy. Mm-hmm. They have balance. They're usually good dancers. They're usually very good athletes, and we find a number of professional athletes who have number 8, 17, or 26 birthdays, because an 8 has physical balance and stamina. So that's what they apply to business. You see, an 8, 17, or 26 can be a professional athlete or a company president. Both of those professions, careers, want to beat last year's figures. If you're the professional business person or if you're the professional athlete, you want to break the tape and win the race. So sure. These people who are number 8s take challenges. Now, looking at John D. and Nelson Rockefeller, they're both born on July 8th. And these are is a money family. These are people who took their money, built their power, and did some good with it in many ways. There's Reverend Jesse Jackson, born on January the 8th, who has gotten into the power structure. We wonder sometimes how he turns up in all these powerful situations. Well, a number 8, 17, or 26 birthday will be between 28 and approximately 61, 62 years of age, surrounded by people of money and power. So naturally, it rubs off on some of them. A typical example of the energy, the coordination, the stamina, and the ability to excel at many things is Sammy Davis Jr., born on December the 8th. Now, of course, good old Paris Hilton, she's in the news, right, Allison? I think she gets out of jail tomorrow.
A little bit.
She's born on February 17th. There's our Hilton money number, just like mm-hmm. the Rockefellers bring up that, you know, number 8 number. Another athlete, unfortunately, who the latter part of his life did not, you know, he did his number 17 vibration, did not stay with him after his midlife, Muhammad Ali, who developed an illness. But he was born on January 17th. He had the stamina, the coordination. Unfortunately, later on in life, different vibrations came in. And there are so many people, we all wonder, I mean, good old Goldie Hawn, she managed to keep Kurt Russell all these years, you know, through, what is it, like 30 years they've been together. The guy's a wonder. He's born on January 17th. He's multifaceted. He's a strong person. He's businesslike. He knows how to deal with his life. And last but not least, Allison, Hillary Clinton, born on January 26th. Now, the number 2, as I brought up before, is the number of partnerships. So the 2 and 26 looks for a partner. The 6 looks for family relationship and takes responsibility for other people, feels they need to take care of others or get involved in other people's lives. The 26 adds up to an 8, and that's the power number. So that's kind of a pretty good definition of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, we got about 3 minutes. Let's get to the 9 really, really quick. The only thing I got to say about 9s is they're wonderful people, truly charismatic, but they do have one little slightly negative thing that I've noticed, especially when it comes to friendships with 9s. They can be a little bit of drama queens, if you ask me. And what I mean by that is the emotions. They can go to the scale of 0 to 100 in 2.3 seconds. And be overwhelmed with emotions, and everything's a drama, and they seem to have a great deal of problems with relationships and trust, and I really do feel that 9s do have difficult childhoods, and they bring a lot of that into their current life. They don't know how to let go of things, but the drama aspect of them, you always got to step back and detach a little bit from the drama with a person that has 9 in their chart, and that's just a little idiosyncrasy that I find with 9s.
People born on the 9th, the 18th, or the 27th are generally extremely charitable and always feel they can give the shirt off the back. They'll generally give more than they have to give. And I give you Mia Farrow as an example, who's adopted so many children and feels that she has so much love and so much compassion and empathy to give, being born on February 9th. John Lennon was born on October the 9th, somebody who took a great interest in what was going on in the world, and certainly a very high level of talent. And, of course, the number 9 is the highest level of communications talent. So we think of a 9 as being someone who could write the great American novel or write the world's greatest symphony or music.
Absolutely.
And Paul McCartney, also born on June the 18th, another person who is very interested in charity as well as his music and his art. So there are many more people, but the number 9 is the highest evolvement of man. It deals with philanthropy. It deals with the highest level of communications, our great writers and artists. And it deals with people for whom the philosophy of life, the big picture of life, is more important than money and possessions.
Right. Well, Lisa Dallin, I hate to say it, but we got to go because our time is up. So
have we done it? Well, thank you.
Well, I'm so glad that you joined us. You're always a pleasure. You're always a well of information with numerology. It's always fun to have you with us. And so I thank you for joining us.
And thank you for having me, Allison.
Right. And everyone, thank you for joining us on Visible by Numbers. We'll be back again next week. In the meantime, we wish you love, peace, and abundance. Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.
Peggy Lee Quayler here. Hey, thanks for listening to Stories Untold on BBS. And you can visit my website at cdbaby.com/cd/Peggy Lee with an A. You can purchase a copy there or write a review. And stay tuned for my next album project, That's Just Hollywood, coming out in June. I'll be sure Doug has a copy for BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
Flying Higher is a new and enlightening program here on BBS Late Night that is ready to soar. Flying Higher host Gina E. Jones is the founder of Seen the Light Productions and author of the recently released novel Flying Between Heaven and Earth. Tune in every Sunday evening at 7:30 as Gina and her guests share with listeners around the world various ways to lighten up and to raise their consciousness. Join them each week as they bring to light an understanding of what is really going on as we journey on the wings of angels to higher dimensions. Flying Higher, 7:30 Sunday, here on BBS Radio Late Night.
Through the night, he knew the answers she'd hoped to find.